So thank you to all who help with the sound, with the bulletin, with the maintenance here, with playing our organ this morning. Thank you. And in just a moment, we're going to pray for God's leading as we read His Word. But I want to begin by saying I made a mistake in the bulletin I sent in that was from Galatians 1. It's actually from Ephesians 1. But before we have our prayer for understanding and our scripture reading, I just want to share just a tiny story. And I'm going to call it a children's message, though it's not really. It's just something that gives an illustration of our cup of thanksgiving or our thanksgiving glass. So we don't have a glass up here, of course. It's COVID time. I want to thank whoever put up here. There's a nice cold bottle of water. So let's call this our glass of thanksgiving as we think about worshiping God on this Thanksgiving Sunday. So this bottle, I've taken a good few sips from it, is about at the halfway mark. And let's just pretend this bottle, this Thanksgiving glass, is our life. And the water is the stuff of our life that we fill it with. And of course, the funny question people used to ask is, are you a pessimist and you say it's half full? Are you optimist and say it's, or pardon me, a pessimist and say it's half empty? Or an optimist and say it's half full? But you know, the more important question than is it half full or half empty is what's in it? Well, this is, of course, a bottle of water. But the important question of your life is, what is in our life? What's inside of us? Let's say the glass is our life. What have we filled it with? What are the things? What's the stuff of our life? And how do we look at it? And on this Thanksgiving Sunday, if we call this a Thanksgiving glass, is it filled with things that we are thankful for? Or is it filled with things we are not even noticing? They call water sometimes the liquid or the source of life. But the source isn't the water itself. The source is who's given that to us. In the stuff of life, as people who walk with the Lord, every glass is filled with enough of what we need. We can look at what's empty, we can look at what's full, but let's look at what there is. Because in Christ, every glass, every life, is filled with enough of Jesus, regardless of our past or our life circumstances. In Christ, we have enough. We have enough mercy, we have enough grace, we have enough strength, we have enough love and hope if we realize that we are called, first of all, to fill our lives and be filled with His Spirit and His leading. When God looks at our life, how full of thanksgiving is it? Is thanksgiving something we just tack on as a nice holiday? It doesn't have a foundation like Christmas and Easter that has a scripture reference directly that way. But yet when we take a look at our life and we respond to what God has given us, the call He's given us, and how we're called to live our lives, are we looking with thanksgiving at what Christ has given? The Thanksgiving glass, is it half full or is it half empty? No. What is it that's there and how do we respond to it and live thankfully to God for what He's given? We're going to ask for God's leading as we look for His Spirit's leading in the scripture before us, Ephesians 1:15, and what some of Paul's words meant then and what it means for us now. So let's pray for God's leading, His illumination as we read His Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word, the Bible. We thank You for the way You call us to be a thankful people. Lord, we can look at life and the challenges of whether it's COVID or younger age or older age or physical needs, and we can look at the needs that we have, and we can also look with thankfulness at what You've given, and help us to remember, Lord, that You are the author of life. You've given us all of creation around us as a general revelation. You've given us Your Word and Your Spirit and Your Son as a special revelation. And Lord, I pray that You would help us to respond with thanksgiving to what You've given us. Help us respond most of all to the gift of Your Son, our Savior, and the way you show his leading and calling to us. Lord, we pray that we might thank our God and remember and be a people of prayer. Lord, maybe this morning we stand in need of a word of comfort. Then may we hear that comfort from your Spirit. Maybe we stand in need of healing or of guidance or of giving you our praise. Lord, maybe we stand in need of other things, spiritual, physical, job, financial, other needs. Help us, Lord, in the right way to put those aside for a few moments to hear first what you would have to say to us. And we thank you for your word that's a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path, your word that we're called to hide in our hearts that we might not sin against you. And then help your word, Lord, to grow by your Spirit's leading so that the beacon of your will and your love might shine out, that people might see your love in us and know that we are Christians. Lord, guide us as we, your people here in Whitby, and other Christians all over this city and province and country and world, gather to worship you on this day, particularly as our land calls us to recognize the blessing of thanksgiving. And you do too, Lord. Help us to remember that clearly. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, we pray that your word and your Spirit may be what we hear and see and respond to. In Jesus' name, amen. So, thank you for changing it. Ephesians 1, verses 15 to 23. So, as we turn to the word of the Lord in Ephesians chapter 1, we realize that this is many of the books that Paul has written to the Christians in the churches that he visited or began. And Paul, though he's likely in prison in Rome when he writes this, Paul has a heart for what's going on there, and Paul has a familiar phrase, verse, that he shares in about a dozen times in different books. And he shares it most clearly in the first verse here, Ephesians 1, verse 15. And I'm going to choose the portions of this verse and the other verses that express his heartfelt feeling of thanks, how he shares it, what he shares, and why he shares. The word of the Lord. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart will be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything, for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Praise God for his word. When you think about Thanksgiving, unlike Easter and Christmas, do you have a specific verse or Bible story or parable or part of the Old or New Testament that jumps out at you? When we think of Good Friday or Ascension or Pentecost or Easter or a time of baptism or other things like that, we have a specific verse we think of. When you think of Thanksgiving, is there a certain verse that you're drawn to? I find myself sometimes drawn to a Colossians 3:15. It's an extended verse, but it begins, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts." Middle of everything. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. And then you get on with the verse, and the very last three words seem like an added-on sentence, but it says, "And be thankful." And then I think you need to read the verse again in Colossians 1, verse 15. "And be thankful." It's not just something added. But I think for myself, when I think of Thanksgiving, what I think, first of all, is there's a parable that seems to have thankfulness as its foundation. Of course, it's more than that. I think of Luke 17. Luke 17, verses 11 to 19. Does that ring a bell? Maybe if I read the title given in our Bible, when it says 10 lepers healed. And I always have to stop at that title, because I'm not so sure if 10 lepers were healed. And let me tell you why, and why this is a beginning of what I want to share about this verse. 10 lepers stand at a distance in Luke 17, verse 11, and they call out. Seems to imply that they scream out. They call out with great pleading, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And Jesus pretty promptly responds, "Go to the priests." And as they went, they were healed. And you know something? There's a whole sermon there. As they went, they were healed. They have the words of Jesus, they have actions of faith, and 10 men are physically healed. Well, that's very important. Hearing the words of faith and actions of faith and being healed. But I want to look at the one for a minute, because something different happened with that one. One came back praising God. First, praising God with a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and he thanked him. He praised God, threw himself at Jesus' feet, and he thanked Jesus. Let alone that he was a Samaritan. But only one returned. So what's that really all about? Because Jesus says something about that one who returned. Jesus didn't even mention that man thanked him, but Jesus said, "Rise and go, your faith has made you well." It was a faith that was responded to the healing that he was given, that first of all praised God with a loud voice. Second of all, threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And this man truly, "Rise and go, your faith has made you well." And at the end of the portions of the actions and the words he did, and he thanked him. "Rise and go, your faith has made you well." And that faith was expressed in praising God. Yes, first and foremost, but was expressed in thanking him. And it made me realize that this really should be, has been, and needs to be, maybe one of the foundations for the scriptural basis for Thanksgiving Day and Thanksgiving. It's not just "and be thankful" sounding as an afterthought, because let's take a look at Paul. Paul, through the Holy Spirit's leading, the primary writer of most of the epistles and books of the New Testament, says in Romans 1, verse 8, "I thank my God through Christ for all of you." Later on in Romans 1, verse 21, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified him nor gave thanks to him." Glorifying God and thanking him goes together. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 4, "I always thank God for you." 2 Corinthians 1, 11, "Many will give thanks on our behalf." Ephesians 1, 16, "I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." Philemon 1, verse 3, "I thank my God every time I remember you." Colossians 1, verse 3, "We always thank God when we pray for you." 1 Thessalonians 1:2, we always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 3, we ought to always be thankful for you because your faith is growing. 2 Timothy 1:3, I always thank God daily, day and night as I constantly remember you in my prayers. Philippians 1:4, I always thank God as I remember you in my prayers. And of course, what's in front of us this morning in Ephesians. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Well, that's a lot of scripture verses, not of scriptural foundation. But I think I want to unpack just one phrase that we've heard over and over. And that's written in your bulletin. I thank my God as I remember you in prayer. Thanksgiving needs to, at its foundation, be personal. Almost all of the times when Paul says, I thank my God as I, seems a little self-centered. I. But that's because faith needs to be personal. We're not Christians because of our family, our church, our actions. We're called by God and called to respond individually and be individually thankful. But also, in three of these references, Paul uses the words we. We are thankful. We remember you in our prayers. I thank my God as I remember. But it's also corporate. We always. Interesting how thankfulness is meant to be individual and corporate. But it's more than that, because it's not only God-directed, but it's God-centered in our response. I thank my God. Comes up 11 times in these places, in these verses. I thank my God. We always thank God. It's shared. Like the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. I think we have to be careful to always balance the fact that our faith in Jesus Christ is personal, individual, but there's the corporate nature of it. I met with Les Boyd this week. He called me up. And he called me up. I had to say no because at the last minute I got a call to teach on Monday, so we met on Tuesday. And one of the things that he wanted to share with me was some of the blessings that you experience here. Lots of blessings. And so I can say now with Les Boyd, I praise God as I think of you in prayer. He shared with me some of your blessings and needs. And that's a big foundation for what Paul wrote in these letters. A lot of what he said in these letters, almost all of it, he heard from others. He heard from others who honestly shared the needs and the blessings in these churches, in these cities. Thessalonica, Corinth, Ephesus, Philippi. And the individual letters he wrote. So Les shared with me, Pastor Boyd, he's your supervising pastor, your moderator here. He shared with me some of your blessings, some of your experiences, and boy, does he have a heart for you. He wanted to make sure that I knew some of the things that I perhaps hadn't known here. Just because of where you are, I've seen some of you at classes meetings, I've seen some of you at Camp Shalom, I've seen some of you at when you've had a meeting here just 2 years ago. Some of you I know through my home church, First Reformed Church in St. Catharines, Pastor Art Van Slageren. So here we have an us and a we and an I and a me wrapped up together. But the whole focus is, yes, it needs to be personal. Yes, it needs to be corporate. But its focus is thanking God. I always thank my God as I remember you in prayer. Now, let's realize what Paul is doing. Paul has heard what's going on in these churches. And some of these churches, most of these churches, have major issues and concerns and difficulties and challenges. Paul begins, in most cases, by thanking the Lord for what he sees in the churches and in the individuals there. And he's writing this in a letter that was meant to be read in and shared in the churches. So Paul decides in a personal way, but in a very overt way, to say how he feels about what he knows is going on in these churches. And realize, too, he's not just sharing his own feelings. These things that he's sharing is based on the information that he's been given, yes, but let's not make this too human of a letter, because this is the Word of God given by the Holy Spirit for Paul to share, yes, but for us 2,000 years later to experience in the present by the Spirit's leading and know from and learn and apply as well. The Word of God is in the New Testament about a 2,000-year-old book. But it's a book and it's a word and it's his Spirit's leading for now. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I thank my God. We always thank God. It's shared. And maybe this is a reminder that when it's so easy to complain about some of the things going on, yes, we need to be very thankful for our provincial leader, our federal leader, and live that way. But sometimes with the needs we have, it's easy to get impatient or to complain or to put your story is bad, but my story is bad too, as we share with one another. And there's a time and a place to share needs and concerns, but Paul rarely begins with that. In spite of the fact that he's likely in Rome in jail, and Paul knows that these churches are struggling because of internal issues, and there are so many, and external issues. The church is struggling. The churches are struggling. He begins by saying, I always thank my God as I remember you in prayer. What is he directing it to? I always thank my God. That's the direction. But what is he directing it from? From a heart of thanksgiving. And really, isn't that what this weekend is about? Yes, it's Thanksgiving, but so often we stop at, yeah, we're thankful for our homes and our food and our family and our country. And then sometimes we play that comparison game. Well, we're not living in some of the countries where the numbers are really high and the lockdown is so much more severe. But sometimes we also need to remember that Thanksgiving needs to be people-based, yes. I thank my God as I remember you, but it needs to be prayer-based. Are we praying for those around us? And then how do we even take it further? Because sometimes we think, well, we have it good and we're blessed. We want to compare ourselves with other countries. Boy, sometimes it's tough to hear what's going on in the United States, whether it's the racial or the physical injustice that's going on, or the words of different leaders, or the threats, or the election coming up in just 3 weeks. What will that mean? Sometimes we want to just condemn what's going on, and sometimes we want to say, well, I'm glad I'm not there. I'm glad I'm here. But then we just want to elevate our own situation around us. Elevating our situation above others is not the heart of thanksgiving. Just counting our blessings is not the heart of thanksgiving. The heart of thanksgiving is thanking God. So maybe more often I need to think about thanking my God as I remember you in prayer. The foundation of thanksgiving is God. The response is prayer. I could slow down some time and share these Bible verses with you, but you can look them up too. Paul uses the same type of phrases about a dozen times. And it's meant to be read in the present, but it's meant to look back also. Remembering is a key word. I thank my God as I remember you. He's thinking of the past, what he's heard, and he's sharing it in a letter now. But let's also be very clear that it acknowledges and encourages a future application of that thanksgiving. He's acknowledging a faith lived out to encourage them in the situations that they are in. Paul is sort of saying, I'm praying for you. And it's not just once. A lot of times that word prayer, you have to look at that. I praise my God as I remember you in prayer. Yes. But of the 10 or 11 times that this starts near the beginning of a book that Paul writes, he uses the word as I continue to pray for you or as I remember you in my prayers, with an S, plural. It's not a one-shot thing. It's a way of life for Paul. Praising God, thanking Him, directing it to people that he sees, responding to the needs he hears people bring to him while he's out of town, hoping to come back, likely never to see them again. And as he sees their needs, he comes before God with thanksgiving, and then many times in the letters, he thanks individual people, and he becomes very firm with the things that they are doing that are contrary to his word of the Lord, the Lord's will and the Lord's way. So, what are we going to take away from this? I hope that in a knowledge head way, we take away the title, which is a summary of all of these praises and thanks. I thank my God as I remember you in prayer. I thank my God as I remember you in prayer. Because all of those words individually mean something. I thank my God as I remember you in prayer. Paul knows this because people have told him. The Spirit has told him. He knows this because he wants to share it. So how do we do this? What do we do in response to this? Well, read the rest of Ephesians 1, verses 15 to 23. I keep asking God that he would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened to the incomparable great power that he has. Raised him from the dead, seated him at the right hand. He has dominion over all things. And what do you do with that? God places all things under his feet, appointing him as head over everything for the church, his body, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. There's a lot in these verses. And as I wrap this up, I just want to say, let's be people of the word and of faith who listen well, respond well, find ways in our own way to write that letter and let other people know that we are thankful for them and we remember them and we pray for them, and then live with the truth of the power that's opened up, especially here in Ephesians 1, verses 15 to 23. So when we see these words, when we hear what God calls us to, may we be a people who respond with Psalm 69, verse 30. I will praise God's name in song and glorify him with thanksgiving. Les Boyd told me that you were the second Reformed church in Canada that opened its doors to worship again. Some people are keeping their doors closed for fear of spreading COVID, of course. Some are opening earlier. Some are singing, some are not singing. What we're called to do is to work out our faith with fear and trembling in thanksgiving before God. Not because we fear COVID, not because we fear God in a scared way, but because we want to honor him. And Les honored you as he thankfully shared with me, I should say Pastor Les Boyd, I just call him Les because he's a colleague of mine too, but as he looked at the blessings that you have, he wanted to make sure that I knew, as someone coming here to preach a second time and being open to whatever the Lord's calling is, as I move to whatever God calls me to in teaching and in ministry, he wanted to make sure that I knew some of the blessings that he had experienced with you. He wanted to make sure I knew some of the needs that were here. He wanted to make sure that I wasn't looking for the will of God in wrong ways and places, but looking in the right way. And I thank my God as I remember you in prayer. Amen, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Your word that gives us life and life abundantly. Particularly when your word, we take it to mean not only the printed word of the Bible, but your word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word made flesh, Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, may we know your word and your Spirit's leading. May we share the hope that you have given. May we share thankfully, praising you first and telling others that we are thankful for the Lord's leading that we see in them. May we remember joyfully. May we live being a beacon, and may we shine hopefully, not because of our words or what we have done, but because we have the blessing of responding to you who want to shine in us. Help us to remember when we are weak, you are strong. Help us to balance boldness and humbleness. Give us patience and persistence and perseverance. And help us to remember, Lord, that you're going to return someday very soon, or maybe not for a while, maybe not for a long time. But then, until then, help us to be people who are faithful, that you might be fruitful in us and through us, first of all, by your leading. In Jesus' name, amen.